So Luke chapter 21, we'll read verses 1 through 4 to start with. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And that word penury reminds you her own need, or being needy. So of her own need she cast in to the offering there at the temple. So a couple weeks ago we looked at just the fact that Jesus, he took notice of those that were giving out of their abundance, and he also took notice of this poor widow woman that gave all that she had, as it's considered, she cast in 2 mites, and she gave of her penury, the fact that she had a need in her own life. But there's something special about giving to the Lord and giving gifts to other people, but especially to the Lord, because when we give to the Lord, it reminds us, hopefully our focus is on the fact that God has given us so much and we're able to give a little bit back to him, and it shows our love for him. It shows the fact that we appreciate, we're grateful for all that God's done for us, and it is another way of worshiping God. Worshiping God is not just singing songs. It's not just coming to a church service. It really, worship has nothing to do with us, but it has all to do with God. We get a blessing by worshiping God because it draws our hearts to the Lord, helps our focus to be on God. But giving is something very special and should be something that's near and dear to the hearts of God's people, because we know that God gave all when he gave his only begotten son on the cross of Calvary. I mean, God did not hold back. He gave something that was more valuable than any material thing, any monetary gift that we can give to him. But still, we want to have the mindset that, you know what, I have the privilege to give to God. It's not, as some people even think, you know, it's, you know, well, if I don't give to the church, you know, I'm going to get a letter in the mail saying that I didn't give my tithes and offerings. I have a relative that when he left the church because they started teaching false doctrine, and he was one of the deacons, and he left the church because he wasn't going to be a part of false doctrine and the way the church was heading. And correct? And I always have to ask my wife if I'm correct on things I'm remembering. But this relative left, and didn't he get a letter? Was it him that got the letter? He actually got a letter in the mail from the church stating how much he owed the church in offerings. I mean, that is not what the church is supposed to do. Because giving to the Lord is just that. You're giving to the Lord. Yes, you do bring it to the church, but, you know, I don't know what you vowed in your heart to give to God. I don't know what God's laid upon your heart to give. And for me to write a letter to someone and say, hey, you owe the church this amount of money, it's like, then that kind of lets you know where the church stands. That church was only about money and the things that they wanted to do. And it's just, you know, again, I could go on with that, but I won't. But the fact is that sometimes that does cause people to not want to give, because then they view, you know, the church, well, I'm giving to the church. I don't know how the church is going to use my money. I don't know. You know, they may buy things I disagree with. They may, you know, decorate the church the way I don't like it decorated. But again, I think if we have the right heart that, you know what, I'm giving to God. I can't control what somebody may do with the money that I give. And again, I'm very open with what we do with the money, because every year we have a business meeting and I show you exactly where the money has been spent, what it was spent on. All right, and that's the way it should be. We as a church, you know, we're all, this is our church. God, Jesus is the head of the church. You know what? And you have a right to know, you know, what's the church doing with the money? Where is the money being spent, okay? So when you think about this widow with the two mites, she wasn't concerned about what other people were giving. She wasn't concerned about what the priests might do with the money. Her concern was coming and worshiping God. And that's exactly what it is. It's worshiping God. I'm giving of myself to the Lord. What God's given me, I'm giving some of it back to the Lord. In your notes at Acts chapter 20 in the introduction area, I don't know if maybe you don't have this in your notes for the introduction, but in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Bible says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it is. We do get a blessing when we give to the Lord. Now, no doubt we get a blessing when we give to somebody else and we help somebody else out. I've said it before that you cannot give without loving. I'm sorry, you cannot love without giving. Many people will give without loving because, well, you know, it's expected of me to do this. I'll do it. But when you love somebody, you can't help but to give to that person. You can't help but to help that person. And we obviously, as children of God, have a great love for God. Now, does God need our money? The answer is no. Because God owns it all. God can do any. God doesn't need my money, but you know what? It's his money anyway. He gives us things so that he can use us to help other people. All right? Now, again, I love the fact that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, again, I think this is part of the introduction. This may not be in your notes, but 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now God says, let us give what we've purposed in our heart. And really, what we've purposed in our heart is what God's laid upon our heart. I think I brought this up 2 weeks ago. If you go back to the Old Testament and you go to where Moses has been given the blueprint, the building plans for the tabernacle, and the Bible says that God laid upon, as God moved upon the hearts of the people, they gave towards that building project. They gave what they had. Some gave for the covering of the tabernacle, you know, goat skin, badger skins. They gave what they had to the building project because God moved in their heart, all right? And what they purposed in their heart, they gave. So as we purpose it in our heart, again, every week or, you know, whenever, you know, whether we're supporting missionaries, whether it's your regular offering that you just give on a regular basis, sometimes God may move in your heart to give a little extra. And many people in the church have done that, given above what they normally give. And that's, I believe, that is God moving in the hearts of his people to give extra for some reason, okay? And sometimes maybe there's not even a special need. It's just God moving in your heart because God wants to see if you'll be obedient to his leading in your heart so that he can even bless you more. I've seen that before where God just, he does. God is looking to bless his people, but he's also looking to see how sensitive we are to his leading in our life, how sensitive we are to him moving in our heart. Because in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, many people treasure things in this world that's temporal. It's not going to last. It's going to rot, it's going to fall apart, it's going to break down. But yet God wants our heart to be in heaven. Jesus said, where your heart is, or where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. What is it that we value? How much do we value our worship of God? All right? Again, Jesus saw this poor widow woman coming into the temple. She saw her giving. And he even says of her penury or of her own need. She had needs in her life, but she gave to the Lord because she trusted that God would take care of her. I want you to notice, though, Number two, because we looked at the contrast of the givers 2 weeks ago, the fact that Jesus, he saw the rich people giving. And let me just even say this, because the word rich, when we hear, oh, you know what, somebody's rich, the first thought of anybody is, oh, they must have millions of dollars. Because when you hear, you know, oh, that person's rich, you think of somebody who has a big fancy house, you know, expensive cars. You think of someone who just, you know, like they have all the money that they could possibly need when you hear that word rich. But you know what? I'm rich. You're rich. Now, I may not have $1 million in my bank account. I may not have a big fancy house, but I have a house that I like. I have a house that's comfortable to live in, a house that is shelter for my family. It's big enough for my family because I've got a large family. We're not all, you know, stacked on top of each other. We're able to spread out in our house. You know, I've got a car. It may not be the most expensive, the most fanciest, but it's a car I like. It's a car that gets me from the house to church, to work, to the stores. I mean, it's, you know, it's a nice car that we like. So rich doesn't necessarily mean in our time, you know, someone who's got all the money in the world. But you are rich if you have Jesus Christ, because you have the greatest gift. You have the greatest treasure. But as Jesus references in this chapter those that gave of their abundance, all right, he says in verse number 3, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Back up to verse number 1, and he looked up and saw the rich men. All right? He saw the rich men. He saw those that actually had an abundance of money, abundance of wealth, giving of themselves to the Lord. And when you think about, excuse me, when you think about just the comments of Jesus, and that's number 2, the comments of Jesus, when you think about his comments regarding this widow's offering, he says of the woman, of a truth, in verse number 3, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow, so I mean, he just, again, the Bible tells us that these men that were giving, they were rich in the fact that they had enough, they had a lot, that what they were giving wasn't really taking away from what they had, okay? That they were still fine, they were still comfortable, they still had enough money. But then Jesus specifically says that this poor widow, all right? Again, in her day, in the days of Christ, walking on this earth, a widow was really that, someone who had no other family members. Yes, she lost her husband, but in this day, she had no one to care for her. She didn't have another man in the house to care for her. There wasn't another relative to care for her. She was a poor widow, and she gives. And the reason why we can tell that is because Jesus notices she gives all that she had. She had nothing else, which means, you know what? What she had is she got that some way, maybe begging for money. Maybe someone, you know, felt sorry and gave her some money. But she doesn't have much. But what she has, she gives to the Lord because she wants to still be a part of worshiping God. Worshiping God does not depend on, well, you know what? I don't have enough to bring to the offering today. You know what? I don't have a fancy car. There was somebody one time that came to church. They pulled up in the park, or they didn't pull up in the parking lot. They told me they were coming to church. They were running late. They saw there was a lot of cars in the parking lot, and they turned around and went home because they forgot to shave. Now that's somebody that wants to be presentable, but at the same time, it's like, it's okay if you're unshaven. You need to be in church because you're coming to worship the Lord. The Lord is not concerned about if you're shaved or not, though I believe that we should present ourselves to the Lord, okay? We should present ourselves to the Lord and try to be, respectful to the Lord. Again, I know there are those who are against beards and stuff, but Jesus had a beard because it was ripped out of his face, okay? But what I'm saying is, you know, we do have a heart that we want to be right with God. But at the same time, the devil will try to keep us from truly worshiping God. Okay? So we gotta really be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know that, again, my worship is to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will guide me in worshiping the Lord correctly. And it does involve giving to the Lord. And Jesus recognized this woman's giving. And I just want to say that Jesus recognizes everything that we do. Again, what I do, how I worship God, does not depend on how somebody else worships God. What I give to the Lord doesn't depend on what someone else gives. For instance, I don't come up here on Sunday and go through the offering plate. That's God saying, that's mine, don't touch it. But I don't go up to the offering plate every Sunday, look at what everyone gave and say, okay, I got to give more than them because I'm the pastor, you know. Somebody else actually takes care of the offering for me, so I'm not looking at it because you know what? I don't need to. Because I don't want to ever get to a point where I start looking going, well, I know what they do, and they should be giving a lot more than that. Because, again, what you give is what God's laid upon your heart. Now, again, I do believe that the Bible teaches us that we need to tithe, which is 10% of what we earn. And God talks about that in Malachi. We looked at that, I think, a couple weeks ago. But again, what we give is what God's laid upon our heart, what we have purposed in our heart to give to the Lord. This woman, this widow woman, came and she gave what was in her heart. She wanted to give this to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, though, that Jesus, he recognizes, he sees the rich man giving, then she sees her coming. Now, you know that she's kind of, you know, behind these other men. She's, you know, she's behind, probably, you know, waiting her turn to give into the treasury there, all right? And I'm sure she sees they're well-dressed. I mean, they're rich men. They're well-dressed. They've got on nice robes and, you know, they may have some, you know, some gold on. I don't know. But you can tell they're rich, and she may even be watching and just seeing. And sometimes if we're not careful, if we are watching what someone else does, it will cause us to feel bad about us and think, well, you know what? Maybe my little two mites doesn't really matter. I mean, what can my two mites do for the temple of God? What can God do with my two mites? I mean, these people are giving so much. I mean, does anybody care? Maybe I should just take my two mites and go home. But you know what? God cares. Because that's why Jesus recognizes it and even points her out to the disciples to teach a lesson. Because it doesn't matter to the God what you give when he's looking at me. He's looking at me and what I'm giving. Am I giving with the right heart? Again, he cares about what you give, but he's not comparing your giving with my giving. All right, he's never going to guilt you and talk to you and say, well, so-and-so gave this much, so you need to give a little more. No, as God moves in our heart, as we purpose in our heart, we give to the Lord. Now, this woman obviously came and cheerfully gave to the Lord. She didn't grudgingly give. And if I can even say that, if we ever feel, you know, like, we, you know, grudging, like, you know, I better give this, you know, I don't want to, but I better, I would say keep it. Don't give if you can't give with a cheerful heart. Don't give unless you can give with a cheerful heart, because you and I will miss out on the blessing. God's looking to bless us, okay? And again, let me just remind you, it should always be out of, you know what, I get to give to the Lord. I have an opportunity to show God how much I appreciate, how much I'm grateful for everything he's done for me, and it is bringing our sacrifice to the Lord. Will it cost you something? Sure, it cost this widow woman everything she had, all right? but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Jesus was not speaking a parable. He wasn't symbolizing what she was doing. I mean, he said she gave all she had, okay? So, I mean, she had nothing else after she put her two mites in. But what she had was a God in heaven that supplies all her need. Because remember, Paul even reminds us of that later on when Paul says, when Paul tells a church, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So the Lord takes care of us, but Jesus recognizes this poor widow woman giving of herself. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And we are to praise his name. We are to give thanksgiving to God with our lips by saying, Lord, thank you for what you've given to me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for keeping me healthy. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you, Lord, that I even was able to get to church this morning. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful day. So, I mean, God wants our praise. He wants our thanksgiving from our lips. He wants us to verbally tell him how much we love him and how much we're thankful for him. But also in Hebrews 13 and verse 16, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We praise God when we sing and give to him. Perhaps this woman had great joy as she brought her offering. You know what? Jesus probably, you know, the Bible says that he was sitting in the temple over against the treasury. He's watching people come in to the temple. He's watching people drop in their offering into the treasury. But then he noticed this woman. Maybe this woman was just beaming from ear to ear, just thankful to be able to come to the temple. Thankful to be able to give, you know, something to the Lord, even though it was everything she had, yet she purposed to come to the temple to give those two mites. Now, I wonder if on the way to the temple, the devil was trying to get her to turn around and go home. Because the devil is always trying to get God's people not to give God the worship and praise he deserves. Because how can the devil steal God's glory and God's praise? He can't take your salvation away because that was given you by God. Only God can take the gift of salvation away, and he never will because he said that he never would take that away. It's something that is eternal. But the devil wants to, remember, the devil wants to take God's glory. The devil's the one that said, I will ascend. I will, I will, I will. I mean, he's the one that says, I'll be like the Most High. I will ascend up. I mean, he wants to, and he's going to get his moment in time when he is worshipped on this earth by the entire world. But right now, how can he steal God's glory? And he does it by convincing God's people not to worship God in the way that we're supposed to, not to praise God. Because many times, I mean, again, there was a Sunday morning. I know I've mentioned this. Some of you probably never heard this, but there was a Sunday morning when I first went into the ministry. It was February 2011. We were headed to church, had a 45-minute drive from our house to the church. We didn't even get, I think, 15 minutes down the road, maybe 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, the engine blew up in our vehicle. Pull over side of the road, and it's like, okay. Well, maybe I wasn't supposed to take the church. Maybe this is God telling me, you know what? This is not what I wanted you to do. It's like, wait a minute. Now, that would be the devil, because here it is, February. I was voted in as the pastor back in December 2010. So it's like, okay, so it took that long for God to show me it wasn't his will? It's like, wait a minute. No, because my prayer was, Lord, if you really want me to be the pastor, then let me be voted in 100%, nobody against it. Well, I was voted in 100%, nobody against it. I mean, he answered prayer. But you know what? God does give us tests. He will prove us at times. He will test us at times to see if, even though we're faced with no vehicle, because I had no vehicle, there's 12 of us, 2 adults, 10 children. Actually, we didn't have 10 at the time because Brooklyn wasn't born. Yeah, neither was Bethany, so we probably had 8. Okay, neither was Lily. Okay. We're really laying it down. I would put it this way. Our vehicle seated 8. Yeah, seated 8, and all 8 of us were in there. So you know what? There was 8 of us. Yeah, there was 8 of us. 8 of us seated in there, plus we had instruments in the back. So you think on that day, it's like, okay, now what do I do? But why would God let this happen? Because I'm supposed to be there teaching Sunday school, preaching a message. So I was able to call somebody. I was able to call one of the men of the church and say, okay, look, I'm going to be a little late. This is what happened. So can you just teach Sunday school? All right, just teach Sunday school for me. We called our home church, and there happened to be one person in the church that had a vehicle that could fit my entire family in. And I don't even know why she had that vehicle, because it was just her, right? Because her kids were already grown and out of the house at the time, so it was just her driving around this Ford Expedition that seats, I think her seated 9, didn't it? Or it seated 8 too? So it just happened someone in the church had a vehicle we could use. So we used it for several weeks, and I think several months, didn't we? So anyway, what I'm saying is, I have no idea why I got off on that topic. I don't know. Why not get on that topic? Well, it was my gift, just giving all. I mean, just, again, she's headed to the temple. I was headed to church with my family. There's times where your faith, your obedience to God is going to be tested. You've already purposed in your heart what you're going to do. And because you've purposed in your heart to do that, you're going to be fought against it. Because again, the devil wants to steal God's glory, steal God's praise. So on the side of the road, this is what I was going to say, on the side of the road, after quickly changing my mind, it was just a few seconds of thinking, wait, why did God allow this? Oh, wait a minute, no, because God's already proven this is what he wants. We started singing scripture songs, I believe. We started praising God while we were waiting for the vehicle to come to us. All right? So with this widow, I guarantee you she's on the way to the temple and the devil's trying to get her to turn around and go home. And even telling her truth, not even lying to her. Say, that's all you have, 2 mites. What are you going to do? Where are you going to get food? You better keep those 2 mites. But at the same time, he is lying because he's trying to convince her not to trust God, not to rely upon God, not to follow God's leading in her heart. So I can tell that she probably entered the temple just beaming, smiling. She doesn't have much, but you know what? She has something to give, and she's willing to give all that she has because she's trusting God. She's trusting the Lord to take care of her, and she wants to be a part of what God is doing. She wants to be a part of the ministry there at the temple. She doesn't want to be an outcast that doesn't get to worship God and give to God. And Jesus recognizes it. He notices what she does. And Jesus was pleased with her heart because she had something different, or he had something different to say about the rich man. So he notices the woman. He notices what she gives, all right? He recognizes it, even commends her for it by saying that she had cast in all that living, all the living that she had. But in letter B, notice what he says about the rich men. He says, as far as the rich men go, that they cast in out of their abundance. Cast in out of their abundance. Now, in verse 4, it tells us that. And it means they gave of their excess, all right? They had extra. It was not an inconvenience for them to give, and there was no true sacrifice involved, all right? And that's just the way. Again, if you're giving, God's, let me just say this, because, again, some, I know that when we talk about giving, the devil always wants to get into the minds of people and cause them to think, you know, cause them to think things that aren't true. Again, the focus is all about worshiping God. It's all about what God has moved in your heart to do, okay? And again, if we're having to do it grudgingly, then we don't want to do it. We want to make sure that we are giving to the Lord with a cheerful heart because we're thinking about all that God's done for us, all right? But Jesus, again, he's noticing that there are some that are giving of their abundance, and they're not really thinking about why they're giving, all right? They're just giving to give because everybody can recognize who they are. Everyone can recognize just their wealth and just even be patted on the back, all right? But it was not an inconvenience for them. Jesus was not impressed with their leftovers. What are we willing to give to the Lord? Are we willing to make a sacrifice so that we can give to God? Or are we only willing to throw in our loose change? Let me just say this, and again, I don't preach a lot on tithing. But again, in Malachi, God does say, prove me, test me. See if I won't pour out a blessing that you cannot receive. That, you know what, that you're like, man, God just keeps on blessing. And he does, he blesses, but listen. To worship God properly and effectively, we should give to God first. The Bible teaches that God promises a blessing. Let's not have the mindset, and I had this mindset early on in my younger years, that I would pay my bills, buy food, whatever my needs were, whatever my family's needs were, I'm going to do all that first. And whatever I have left over, I'll give God 10% of that. But that's not really trusting God. That's not trusting God to provide for my needs and to make sure that, you know what, I'll have money to pay the bills. Because remember, how did Jesus feed 5,000 men in the book of Matthew? Well, yeah, someone else had what? 5,000 pieces of bread and 5,000 pieces of fish? No. 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. So he took 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and fed 5,000 men, and then the rest. Who else was there? But the Bible specifically says 5,000 men. Because you just think about 5,000 hungry men, and all you have is 2 fish and 5 loaves. So whatever is put into the hands of Jesus, he multiplies it. And he met the need of 5,000 hungry men. And then he tells his disciples, go out there and take up the leftovers, take up the fragments. Now I can imagine the thoughts of the men, even maybe the looks on their faces of, at least me, if I was there and Jesus said, now go gather leftovers, I'd be thinking, I doubt there's any leftovers. I mean, 5,000 men? I mean, we only had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I mean, we dispersed it. We gave it out, but I doubt there's any leftover. But nonetheless, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to go. And what? They came back. They came back with a huge load of leftovers. At the moment, I forget it because there was a feeding of 4,000, 5,000. In those two instances, they came back. In one instance, they came back with 7 baskets. The other instance, they came back with 12 baskets. So, I mean, they came back with leftovers after 5,000 and 4,000 men were fed. And not just fed a little bit. The Bible records that, you know what, they were full. They ate enough to fill them to where they weren't hungry anymore. So what am I saying? I'm saying that what we give to Jesus, he multiplies. So it's best for us to give to him first. It's best, you know, just using myself for example, I get paid every week. So what I get paid every week, It's 10% off the top right there of what I get paid. I give that to God. And then the rest, well, I got to pay bills. I got to buy food, you know, needs that we need. And you know what? God's always provided. Because if you and I were to write down on a piece of paper our budget, all our bills and stuff and what we make, sometimes it doesn't make sense. How can I give to God? If I give to God, I'm not going to have enough. But God always takes care. Again, we have to trust God. It doesn't have to make sense to us because faith is not always what makes sense. We walk by faith, not by sight. Again, that's not blind faith. That's not saying, you know what, I'm going to step off the roof of this building and I have faith God's going to catch me. You're going to plummet to your death. Because that's not faith. That's stupidity. Faith is, you know what? God has told me he will provide all of my need. God has told me that out of a true heart, I need to worship and praise him. I need to come and give my offering to the Lord because it shows my gratitude. It shows my love for the Lord. And I'll be honest, and the Lord knows this, it helps in the ministry. It helps with the building of God. This is the church of God. What they gave in the treasury, it helped with the maintenance of the temple, okay? But it is. It's a form of worship to God. And that is what our heart needs to be. Jesus recognized it, all right? He recognized it with the widow woman. He recognized the heart of the rich men, all right? And then thirdly, think about the sacrifice. Think about the sacrifice of giving that Jesus recognizes, the commendation of the sacrifice. Notice what Jesus also said about this widow's offering in verse 4. It says, "For all these have their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God," talking about the rich men, "but she of her penury," or her own need, she was needy, "hath cast in all the living that she had." All right? Jesus notices that her giving was sacrificial. It was sacrificial because once she put that in, that was it. She had nothing else. She had nothing else. How is she going to buy food? Don't know. You don't even know what her living situation was, where she lived. But again, she was trusting the Lord. It was sacrificial. Jesus said she gave of her penury. All right? She gave out of her poverty or out of her need. The mites that she cast in were not a couple of pieces of spare change. She gave of her livelihood. She had a sacrificial spirit. Like a Macedonian believer, she gave of her own self to have a part in this offering. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." The Macedonians had sent Paul a sacrifice giving. They kept up with Paul, and they would give to him many, multiple times. But Paul makes the comment, and he understands that they first gave themselves to the Lord. Then they gave to him. Because you know what? If we do have a true walk with God, all right, if we're walking with God and we have a relationship with God and we're giving to the Lord, and then there's going to be times where God moves upon our heart that, you know what, somebody else is in need. You might hear of somebody that has a need, and God moves upon your heart to give, and you're like Barnabas, the son of consolation. You're like, I want to meet that need. I mean, God's done so much for me, and you know what, God's given me this blessing. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to send it to them anonymously. You know, without them knowing it, you know, I'm gonna give it to the pastor and have the pastor. Now, that's happened to me before, where someone's, "Hey, can you take this and give this to somebody?" And that's happened where my pastor has brought an envelope to me and my family, said, "Hey, this isn't from me. This is from somebody else in the church that wanted to give you guys something." And it was like, wow. And it's like, how did anybody know? Nobody has to know what your need is. God knows what it is. But what I'm saying is, again, people struggle with giving. People struggle with giving because of finances, okay? Sometimes the struggle is because we have put ourselves into debt. And therefore, we have so much debt we're trying to pay off. We're like, I don't see how I can give to the church. You know what? There's many other people there that can give. It's not about competition between who can give and not give. It's about our heart to God. And let me tell you, I'll even say this. When you put God first, he will help you get out of debt. He's not going to pay it off. He's going to teach you a lesson on being able to handle your money and handle your finances. But if you'll put God first, and I've had to instruct people over the years in this matter as well, is okay, it's not God's fault that we've gotten ourselves in debt, but you know what? The Bible is still true. The promises of God is still true. If we will honor him first, he'll honor us. If we'll give to him first, he will pour out a blessing. He will help us to get back on track. He's not going to take the debt away. We have to learn how to trust him, give to him, and get on a budget and stuff. But again, you know what? There's times where it is sacrificial. It's a sacrificial giving. It's Lord, you know what I have coming up. Or Lord, you know my vehicle's on its last leg. You know my vehicle isn't all that great, and I'm afraid it may break down this week. And the Lord just says, trust me. And you give that offering. You give that envelope. And then that week, your car breaks down. Lord, you told me to trust you, so I'm trusting you. Again, that year, God taught me how not only to trust him, but to allow other people to help. It's not easy to let other people know what your need is and then let them help you. Because I had to get over the fact that, you know what, it's not about me being weak or not being able to provide for my family. It's about letting God show himself how great and mighty he is. And again, this woman, she was a single woman. Her husband had left her. She had marital issues, all kinds of things, but she was willing to give her vehicle to my family so that we could get to church, to get to the ministry where God called us. And then after a while, the church allowed us to use one of their vans to go back and forth to the church. You know, so we weren't, you know, just taking her vehicle. I mean, someone allowed her to use their vehicle. I mean, it was a church family helping people. And then eventually come that November, somebody bought us a vehicle. We had a family member buy us the green Suburban that we have. That would fit all of our family and all of our gear. So it was truly a blessing. God used it, but he used that time to really teach me how to really trust him and how to really lean upon him and let him use people to help. So, I mean, we have to trust the Lord. God is good, and he's good at providing for us, and he'll always take care of you. We just have to trust him. All right, very quickly, all right, her giving was sacrificial, her giving was personal. Her giving was personal. Nobody knew except Jesus. Nobody knew what her need was, all right? Now, from this woman, we learn the heart of true worship. How does the pure-hearted person give? She was not concerned with how much other people gave, and we will lose the blessing of giving if we focus on what other people give or don't give. All right, this woman's one concern in her heart was God. And that is the concern of our heart and should be is God. I'm coming to worship God. I'm coming to give to the Lord. All right, Romans 14:12 tells us, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. All right, why did you do what you did? All right, why do you do the things that you do? We're going to give an account to God for how we've lived our life after salvation, according to his will, because he moves upon our heart. He leads us at different times, and he wants to see, were we obedient? Did we follow? Did we trust him? All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Again, as we give to the Lord, he does provide for us, and we have to trust that, that he will provide for us. But also, he recognized her giving was pleasing. Her giving was pleasing to Christ, or pleasing to God. Jesus knew that this widow gave the best she could, and he was pleased. By providing the example, Jesus shows us a way that we can please him, a way we can show a small token of our appreciation of the fact that he gave his life for us. In Philippians chapter 4, there in your notes, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." God doesn't desire, again, God doesn't need what we give him. But he desires again to bless us, to bless his people. He desires to see a heart that is grateful, a heart that is obedient, a heart that's trusting, a heart that believes that my God shall supply whatever need I have. My God will take care of me. Again, God's not looking for you to just give everything you have to the church. He wants to see where your heart is in what you do give, in what you do do, okay? Now, very quickly, this lesson has all been, it's been about Jesus seeing this woman giving two mites, giving a monetary gift, giving some money, all right? That's not all that we can give to God. Other ways that we can worship God is by the talents and the abilities that he has given you. Use it for the Lord. I mean, there are people that play the piano. There are people that sing. There are people that lead the music. There are people that work in the sound room. There's people that teach Sunday school. There's people that just, they know how to encourage other people. And that's truly giving of yourself. All right? So, I mean, all areas of life, we can worship the Lord, and God gives us the grace. He gives us the grace to give of ourselves, you know, financially, because again, God wants us to trust him with our finances, but also with our own abilities, what we do. All right, what can I do? How can I serve God? What can I do for the Lord? How can I show the Lord I'm so thankful for the talents that he's given me? You know, we all have talents. We all have abilities that God wants us to use for him, but we do have to trust the Lord. All right, trust the Lord by faith, follow him, rely upon him, and remember, there's nothing that God cannot do for you and through you. If God moves in your heart to do something, then purpose in your heart to do what God's asked you to do, and God will take care of it. God will bless you for it, and God will multiply whatever it is that he wants you to do. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness this morning. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, and we thank you, Lord, that you are always looking to show yourself great and mighty in our lives. You're looking to pour out a blessing upon your people. But, Lord, you know our struggles. You know, Father, that sometimes we struggle with doing what we know that we should do because we have life, Lord. Just we have the struggle of the flesh. We have the struggle of the devil sometimes resisting us, trying to convince us that we don't need to do anything for the Lord. Somebody else will take care of it. But Father, you are personally looking to bless each person, each child of God. You're looking to bless in a very special way. And I know, Father, on that day that widow walked away with just joy in her heart, that she was able to do what she purposed in her heart by giving those two mites, no one patting her on the back. In fact, there might have been people there that were kind of snickering or mocking her, making fun of her. We don't know. But, Lord, you weren't. You took notice of what she gave, and you, Lord, used her as a great illustration. And no doubt, Father, you blessed her and provided for her because you are, Lord, you're the father of the fatherless, and, Lord, you're the keeper of the widows. You take care of your people. So thank you, Father, for just the opportunity that we have, Lord, to give back to you. Father, I ask that you would bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.